Jeremiah chapter 32. We have a sound man and we have a sound woman. Okay? The sound man is Sam and the sound woman is his sister-in-law, Chelsea. She's the one who brings us the phone on which the audio is recorded to be put on changed lives. No, it's put on One Soul at a Time. That's the name of it. One Soul at a Time. And so if you do not watch on FaceTime, on Facebook live streaming, I'll get the right thing here. If you don't watch it on that, you can always go to the website, One Soul at a Time, and hear the audio there. Jeremiah chapter 32. The word fear or be not afraid is in the Bible 103 times. I'm depending on concordances for that reference, or even possibly was able to just research, you know, by using a browser how many times are these words there. I didn't go through the Bible counting each one. Somebody else did that. Fear or be not afraid. We're going to note what goes with fear tonight. Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 36, it says, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city," that would be Jerusalem, "whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them." And so the city is Jerusalem. The country is Judah, or that is the section of Israel called Judah. Verse 38 to 40, we want to note what goes with fear. "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me." The fear of them comes as a result of God working in our heart. "For the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." What goes with fear? Not departing from God. Not leaving God. Or, to put it in the positive, staying with God. "I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." Now, I also want you to notice in verse 41, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." Now, as I have often said before, this is spoken of Israel. This is spoken particularly of that segment of Israel called Judah. And we are not Judah. We are not even Israelites. But it shows to us how God works with his people. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are his people. And so we can see how God works with his people, how he would work with us. And in that sense, it is wonderful that he has put his fear in our hearts and that he will not depart from us. And that we will be able to be planted in his protection forever. In the case of Judah, it was in the land. In our case, it's in the family of God, if you please. Verse 42, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people. God acknowledges that in bringing judgment upon the people, it was as an evil to them. It was not a good experience when they were taken captive to Babylon. And now he says here, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. God was going to bring the good, and there is yet more good to come for the people of Israel. Nevertheless, God tells us that if we do not yield to him, if we do not obey him, if we do not follow him as we should, we will cause him to bring judgment on us. Amen. And that judgment we will not find to be good. As a matter of fact, depending on what it is, I know someone going through a time and they are considering that what they're going through, it would not be out of order, but what they would maybe consider it to be an evil. And so just as was true with the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, and we cannot take and apply these things rotely or routinely on us as a nation or any other nation. But as a people, we can see how that when we fail to do what God instructs us, that we will cause him to judge us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the end of the chapter, deals with that. And so, but he also promises good. And you see, that's what he tells the people here. Now, because of their disobedience, he was caused to bring judgment on them and evil. But he reminds them, now I'm bringing you back to the city, and I'm going to bring to you good. All of the good that I have promised to them. And God promises us good. And we can expect that he will keep that promise to us. And so let's turn now to Isaiah, where we find a comparable thought. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, and I'm looking at verse 13. 29:13 of Isaiah. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. God says, what they say sounds good, but their hearts are wrong. Or, if I can word it this way, what they say sounds right, but their hearts are wrong. Jesus referenced this passage in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now, Mark records it too, but it's the same as what Matthew says. Therefore, there's nothing to be gained by looking at Mark's accounting. Matthew 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, Isaiah said. Living, in other words, it's true of Israel, and Jesus referenced it and therefore verified it. They were living by what people teach about God rather than by living what God reveals about himself in the scriptures. In other words, they went to church and they heard what a preacher or a Sunday school teacher said about God, and they followed that.
No.
And if that coincided with the scriptures, they still have a second-hand accounting. Okay? Now, it's a true accounting, but we need to get what we believe and what we follow, not from what another man says, even if it's true. We need to get it from God himself in the Word. Okay? So you hear me preach something and it's true. That ain't good enough. You need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. They were commended because after Paul preached, they went and searched out the scriptures they had access to. Now, they weren't able to have a Bible held like we do, okay? But they went and verified that what Paul said was true. And I encourage you to do the same thing. You say, well, I trust my pastor. I do too. But we need to have our fear toward God taught by God, not by the precepts of men. You see, it's so easy. Then you say, well, you know, I trust my pastor. Well, what happens now if your pastor said something just a little skewered? You say, oh, my pastor would never do that. No, neither would mine. But you know what? We can make mistakes.
That's right, yes, sir.
You have heard me acknowledge that on more than one occasion. So, you check it out in your Bible so that you know what you're believing. Then what you can do is go before an almighty God in your prayer time and you can say, thank you, God, that what Pastor taught me, that what Pastor Hain taught me was true. That it's true. You see?
Right.
You know why we don't do that? It's because we're lazy.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to look at anybody when I said that. Because 99 and 44, 100% of the time, we can trust it. Do I really need to take the time to look it up? Only if you want to be biblical. Like the Bereans. You say, well, I never know what to study. Try that as a starting place. Okay? Save yourself a lot of money. Won't have to buy the study books. Okay? You can just go home and check out what I taught, like in Sunday school, or like on a Wednesday night. And listen, listen, if you come up with something and you think to yourself, you know what? Pastor Haynes said thus and such, but you know, I'm not quite sure about that. I you know, that's not the way I see it. Then come to me.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm not beyond learning. Come to me and say, you know, I was looking up and reading this that you preached last Wednesday. Now, there's going to be an interruption because you're going to have to pick me up off the floor. I will have fainted that you actually did it. No, you say, you know, and when I read it, I this is what I thought, and you know, and over here, here's this other verse that I read in conjunction with that, and so, you know, and then I'll look at it and I'll say, if I don't have an immediate reaction, you know what I'm likely to say? Tell you what, I'm gonna go home and check that out. You might just be onto something, but I'll get back to you. Now, I'm going to tell you I'll get back to you, because then what that does is make it easier for me to come back to you. Just like it may be difficult for you to come to me and say, hey, I looked this up and I read this and I'm not, you know, I don't, here's what I see, okay? That'd probably be difficult for some of you to do. And in the same sense, if you've done that to me, for me to come back to you and say, well, you know, I checked that out and I don't think you're right. That would not be easy for me to do, you see? But if I say to you, look, I'm going to go home, I'm going to read up on what you just said, and then I'll get back to you with what I found. See, then that leaves me with an open door. It makes it easier for me to come to you and say, well, you know, Nick, I looked this up, what you said, and here's what I found. Then I'd have to give you the verification for what I found, which is, in essence, going to be saying, what you say ain't so. Here's what I found. But that's how you have interaction.
Yes, sir.
That's how you have conversation about it. I do not mind being confronted about something. Now, if it's just a matter of your opinion versus my opinion, well, hey, every man has a right to his own opinion. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. Or even, you know, well, if I, you know, if I said it, I have said it differently, but, you know, what I said wasn't wrong. But if you find there's something that you think is wrong, come talk to me. And I have an idea. Pastor's going to feel the same way. And you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured you would.
Yeah.
Nothing like putting him on the spot, is it? Well, you know that's pastor's heart. And so, because what we want, okay, we don't want what is taught. We don't want a fear of God just because of what's taught by men. Okay? Not all hard pulpit pounding preaching is necessarily Bible preaching.
Come on, you got it.
Sometimes it's just the opinion of a man. And if he's preaching, he has the right to state that opinion. However, don't come to me. You like that? I don't know why I did that. I don't know that. I've never done that before. Don't try and pretend that because your grandma did this or because your daddy did that, that therefore, I ought to do that. Okay? We've heard this in various instances and situations. And it doesn't only have to be a preacher referring to his grandma or his granddaddy. It can be his own. This is what I do. This is even why I do it. Well, that's wonderful. But I want to know what the book says. Okay? Now, if you want to tell me, I apply the book to my life with this or that, that's another matter. But to present it in the sense that I do this as if it's what the book would have you do, that's something different. Because then what we're going to do, if I follow what you said, now I'm going to be having fear of God based on the teaching of men and not on the teaching of the book. R.C. Sproul, he was a Reformed theologian, Presbyterian. He would not have fit into, now we have one of our young men, if you heard that fire siren in the background while you're listening, one of our young men just got up, went out the front door because he's part of the fire company. We got another one getting up, going out that door, and it's great to have some of our young men that are part of the fire company. Now, R.C. Sproul was not in our, what we would call, Baptist circles. He was involved in multiple organizations, having started some organizations himself, prolific writer. He died in 2017. But he said this, and I quote, "I think the greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests his power in the Bible. Everyone is looking for power in a program, in a technique, in anything and everything except where God has placed it in his word." He made an awfully good statement in that. Now I close with this story, true story. A number of years ago, I don't know how many, but a worker from the American Bible Society was in an African country. He was passing out New Testaments. Most people took one gladly. But one man said no. The worker was caught off guard because everybody was readily taking them. And the worker urged him to take one. And he finally said, "Okay, but I'll use it to roll my cigarettes." The Bible Society worker said, "Okay, but will you read the page before you roll it?" The man said, "I can do that. I will do that." 6 years later, the Bible Society worker went back to that village and was in a church service. You guessed it. That man stood and gave a testimony. He said, "I read and rolled my way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then I came to John 3:16. And I got saved." Friends, there is power in the Word. Now, surely that isn't something that we're going to encounter, that kind of a response, when you go to hand someone a portion of Scriptures. But I can see in hindsight that the Spirit of God was in the response that the Bible Society worker gave. Do we believe there's power in the book? Power in the Word? It is a good approach that our pastor uses, that when he talks to someone in what we would typically call witnessing, he starts out by bringing their attention to the Scriptures, to the Bible, establishing the truth of the Word of God, because it is through that they will come to a knowledge of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. I thank you, Father, for the love that you provided for us through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.